Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suryoday Small Finance Bank Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Palak Shah from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Akshay. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the second quarter FY24 earnings call of Suryoday Small Finance Bank. We have with us the senior management team of Suryoday, represented by MD and CEO Mr. Bhaskar Babu, CFO Mr. Kanishka Chaudhary, Chief Services Officer Mr. Narayan Rao, and Investor Relations Officer Mr. Himadri Dass. With this introduction, I would like to hand over the call to the management of Suryoday for a brief introduction followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Palak. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of Suryoday Small Finance Bank, I extend a warm welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. I trust that everyone has had the opportunity to review the presentation for the quarter ending September 30th, 2023, which was uploaded on the stock exchanges. Now, let me provide an overview of Suryoday's performance for Q2 and H1 of FY24. Let me begin by saying that the first half of the fiscal year has been good, and the bank had witnessed an overall satisfactory performance in terms of growth, asset quality, and profitability. The gross advances for the bank witnessed a growth of 28.7% year-on-year from 5,378 crores in H1 FY23 to 6,921 crores in H1 FY24. On the disbursements front, the bank has recorded a growth of 30.8% from 2,130 crores to 2,787 crores on a year-on-year basis. The disbursement growth is led by our Vikas loan and commercial vehicle loan products, which grew by 139% and 262% year-on-year, respectively. As of H1 FY24, our customer base stood at 25.1 lakh customers, a growth of 20% over the first half of the previous fiscal. This growth in our customer base signifies the focus of our customer-centric approach and our ability to meet their evolving financial needs. In terms of profitability, the bank saw a PAT growing almost four times year-on-year basis to rupees 97.9 crores in H1 FY24. The uptick is mainly driven by growth, improved operational efficiency, and asset quality optimization. Now, let me shed some light on key operational and financial metrics as of H1 FY24, providing a comprehensive overview of our accomplishments and the factors driving our growth success. Now, coming to the business performance, on the gross advances front, the bank's gross advances is currently at 6,921 crores, out of which Vikas loan portfolio is at 1,621 crores. Vikas loan, the bank's flagship product, is an unsecured business loan offered to the bank's graduating JLG customers, which is covered under the credit guarantee scheme, that is CGFMU. We have over 2.75 lakh Vikas loan customers as of now. On the disbursements front, the disbursements grew by 30.8% to 2,787 crores on a year-on-year basis. This is led, as mentioned earlier, to Vikas loan and commercial vehicle loans. On the overall collections front, the collection efficiency stood at 101.7%. Our deposits, we are delighted to inform and we shared that our CASA has crossed the 1,000 crore mark in value. The overall deposits grew from 4,207 crores in H1 FY23 to 6,308 crores in H1 FY24. We continue to focus on building a sticky and granular retail deposit book. The retail deposits as a percentage of overall deposits currently stands at 77.6% versus 71.9% during H1 FY23. CASA acquisition momentum outpaced the term deposit mobilization in Q2 FY24. In Q2 FY24, the incremental CASA mobilized to incremental term deposits stood at 23%. On the borrowings front, our borrowings as of September FY24 form 23% of the total liabilities, the majority of which is from refinancing institutions that are long-term and are contractual in nature. Currently, our bank has a network of 635 branches, of which 96 branches are deposit-focused, while 350 branches are asset-focused branches, and the balancing comprises of URCs. During the quarter gone by, the bank had invested in expanding the branch network coupled with hiring feet on street, the leverage of which will be visible in the coming quarters. On the asset front, the bank's gross non-performing assets GNPA has reduced to 2.9% in H1 FY24 from an elevated 9.9% in H1 FY23. The net non-performing assets NNPA has decreased to 1.4% from 4.8% in the corresponding period last year. On the earnings side, the net interest income stood at 445.8 crores in H1 FY24, an increase of 26.3% year-on-year. Net total income for the same period stood at 548 crores, an increase of 40.4% on year-on-year basis. Our yield has improved to 20.3% in H1 FY24 from 18.9% in H1 FY23. Our NIM has increased from 9.1% in H1 FY23 to 9.7% in H1 FY24. Our cost of funds has increased from 6.6% in the previous year to 7.2% in H1 FY24. Our cost to income stood at 56.7% as compared to 55.9% in H1 FY23. Cost to income, including the CGFMU guarantee expenses, stood at 61.5%. We continue to be very well capitalized, and currently the CRAR of our bank is 30.2%. Finally, to summarize, we are well on track to achieve our stated guidance in terms of overall growth and profitability. The bank will adopt a three-pronged strategy which will focus on expanding to newer geographies along with deepening penetration in the existing markets, continue to build granular retail deposit book with focus on CASA, focusing on growth and maintaining asset quality. Let me now hand it over for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to only use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Continuum Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on CGFMU. I appreciate the bold decision which our company has taken to take the credit insurance, and I think it's the right decision. But when I see very few of your peers have taken credit insurance under the CGFMU, is it because they don't trust whether money will be reimbursed at the time of Black Swan? Or any other reason? So can you please help me understand this point?
Thank you very much. I wouldn't really be able to comment on the position of what others are doing. What we are trying to do is that on a normalized basis, the credit cost in our unsecured business loans, specifically to the graduating customers, overall on a normalized basis, tend to be around 1.5% to 2%. The CGFMU cover that we are taking is to really take care of, as I really mentioned, this one-off events, call it quote-unquote Black Swan events, and which also gives us the stability in terms of really building up the portfolio in a meaningful manner. We do believe that it's a very useful credit guarantee scheme and comes at obviously an investment, and we believe that it will be well factored in terms of pricing and making sure that we grow in a meaningful manner.
Okay. But you don't see any risk of reimbursement from the scheme?
Our reasonable experience in ECLGS claim have been fair, and we do believe that we do not really kind of haven't expanded our underwriting standards because there is a credit guarantee. We continue to be as it was completely on our book without a credit guarantee, and hence we do believe that this is not really going to be coming in terms of our claims on a normal basis, but only in terms of the extreme events. And we do believe that as long as it is properly done under the various conditions, we do not see any issues in terms of making a claim as and when required.
Yeah, see, my second and the last question is, see, I think our average yield on the secured product is around 12 to 13%. And if I compare this with our peers like Equitas, it's much less, probably due to the fact that Equitas' average secured loan book is around 6 to 7 lakhs and ours is much higher. So do we plan to foray into the lower ticket size to increase the yield for secured product in next 2 to 3 years, or we are happy with our current structure?
As you know that in the last 2 years, the focus is in terms of deepening where we are already present in terms of products. We have been fairly successful, and given that we have come to this and our book in terms of the micro home loans, which is in the range of around 3 to 7 lakhs, has been fairly good. Currently, it stands at 150 crores and at a yield of around closer to 17%. So now we want to expand that in terms of secured business loans of small ticket value, which would be in the range of around 3 lakhs to 10 lakh rupees. But we will really make an entry in a very meaningful and stable manner. And the market per se and the opportunity is large. There is also enough competition out there. But we do see a large opportunity even within our existing customer, and that will be our priority one as we start expanding toward from Q3. But the volume buildup will be gradual, and we would like to really build it on a very strong platform as you have done now for the micro home loans. So probably we'll target around 10 to 20 crores in this quarter from this product and gradually increase it and probably look at that as a run rate month-on-month basis from the Q1 of next financial year.
Yeah, sir, can you, just last question, can you elaborate more on the micro home loan products, how many branches it's already there and what's the team size and other stuff?
So currently we operate around closer to 25 branches.
Yeah.
And expanding that branch by branch, mostly all of this currently are locations where we are operating for inclusive finance or for, yeah, mainly for inclusive finance. So the intent is to really increase it. As of now, it has been more in terms of Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Maharashtra, and we are present in around 10 states. So we would like to expand, but more importantly that even within the state, we see that currently our disbursements are averaging at 10 to 12 crores. The intent is to really take within the three states to closer to 15 to 20 crores. And as we speak, the delinquency of the portfolio is sub 0.5, and the NPA will probably be much lesser at one or two cases at around 0.1 or 0.2. The intent is to really kind of scale this up to, say, 500 crores and continue to maintain a PAR of less than 1% and an NPA of less than 0.25.
Okay, so if I understand right, our focus for high secure, high yield secure products will be micro home and not the micro LAP business loans.
As of now, as we speak, so we would like to enter that as well, micro secured loans, which is a little more scalable, faster than it's a home loan. Home loan happens in branches and it's around 3 to 7 lakhs, 10 lakhs at this point of time. So it's not that we don't have the focus, but currently we started with home loans and now we'll expand to secured business loans of small ticket value.
Yeah, thanks a lot, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushal Parekh from Mehta Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. Hello.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So the cost of funds has risen from 6.6% to 7.2% for H1 FY24. So where do we see this normalizing for the remainder of this financial year?
So at this particular point in time, I think we have peaked in so far as our cost of deposits are concerned. This quarter basically sees the impact of the elevated cost of funds that we have generally seen in the market, as well as specific campaigns that we may have run. So from here on, as a management, we don't intend to see a rise in our cost of deposits, and that's what we will keep on track.
Fair enough. So one more question. So what is the AUM of the commercial vehicles and what are the yields of the same currently? And also, how is the composition of the commercial vehicle book? So do we do light commercial vehicles more or MHCV more? So need more clarity on the same.
So we have a portfolio of around 550 odd crores, which we have provided in our investor deck as well. We are mostly doing light commercial vehicles. The idea is that now from here on we will get into commercial equipments as well, which is at a very early stage of ideation, but that's one segment that we would like to target.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand a couple of things from medium to long-term basis. What would be our CTI, given that we have paying this on quarterly basis, this CGFMU, where our CTI is, I think, above the band what we had guided earlier. So what would be our revised CTI targets for next 2 years?
Shailesh, I think CGFMU, while we kind of count it as an operating expense, we would like to think of it more as a provisioning or in terms of an investment in terms of the provisioning over a period of time. So minus that, except that would obviously be directly proportionate to the amount of portfolio we cover under that. X of CGFMU, our target is to really go closer to around 50 to 53% in the next 2 quarters.
Next 2 quarters?
Yeah. This quarter, with a focus more in terms of expanding and kind of putting in quite a bit of our branches and all that, we would like to kind of moderate it. Around 55 is what our immediate focus is, and thereafter at least another 150 basis points we would like to do it over the next 1 quarter. 2 quarters.
And what would be our target for CGFMU? Because last time we had said around 40 crores, but in the first half already we have spent around 25-26 crores. So what would be that annual amount?
It's proportionate to the business. So if the business pickup is higher than what we have projected, it will be closer to around 50 to 55 crores. We stay around that. 55 is what likely to be.
Okay. So that will be 55 crores. Okay. Second question is, can we share segment-wise yields for our secured book across various segments? What kind of yields we are getting over there?
Yeah, so if you look at, mortgage, we are closer to 12.5%, including LAP, right? And if you look at CV, we are more in the range of 13.5%. The micro mortgage, which is a small portfolio, gives us around 17 to 18%.
Okay, last question from my side, sir. Actually, couple of questions. One is on non-interest income. I think again this quarter we are seeing a good jump in non-interest income. Sequentially, it is flattish, but year on year it is a good jump. Last quarter we had highlighted PSLC income was the main contributor, which was not consistent. So how should we build that? And and again, if you can highlight the sustainable ROAs for our business crop cycle, both of those questions. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so on an overall basis, our fee income has been flattish, but that's largely due to the fact that, in Q2, there was a lesser opportunity for the PSLC certificates. Our income from PSLC certificates reduced from 23 crores to 13 crores. But that was offset by the processing fee that we generated on account of the higher volumes that we did. So our new business increased from 1,000 crores to 1,500 crores, and that helped us to be at the same level on an overall basis.
And on ROA front?
So on ROA, currently we are at 1.92%, right? And as you would remember, Shailesh, we had guided that on a full year basis we'll be around 2.25%. So as of now, we stick to our guidance. We will need to be able to build our book at a slightly faster rate over the next half of this year. And we are confident of being able to do so.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thank you. And best of luck.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yug Mehta from AP Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. How is the micro home loan product doing for us and what is the disbursement run rate there?
So micro home loan, we typically do anywhere between 12 to 15 crores a month. We have about 150 crores portfolio today with a yield of around 17 to 18%. The good part about this portfolio is that in terms of credit quality, it's pristine. We actually have only two, NPA cases till date, and we have been running this business for a little over a year. So the main focus now is how we are able to scale this business. Like Bhaskar mentioned, we are in primarily two states, Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, which have worked very well for us. So the focus is, one, how do we go deep into these two states? And which are the new states which are ripe for this particular product. The good part for us is that from day one, micro home loan has been very proximate to our inclusive finance business setup. So we run it from the same offices. We are targeting more or less the same customer segment. So now, right now the focus is one on being able to scale this product from here on.
Okay, next is, we have mentioned cost of income including CGF. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we have mentioned cost to income including CGFMU scheme at 65.4% for Q2 FY24. That's a bit on a higher side. At which levels can it settle down going forward?
So, you know, if you look at our cost to income, taking out the CGFMU for a minute, we have been around 60% for this quarter. And that's primarily because of the investments that we have started making in branch expansion. So our focus right now will be that over the next 6 months, the 60% cost to income excluding CGFMU, we are able to bring it down to 55% by the end of the year.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Contrarian Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, can you please explain your unsecured business loan product, like target customer, the average ticket size, yields, and the normal NPAs in this product? Yeah.
So these are customers who are curated with us, has come in as a JLG customer, would have been with us for more than one cycle, first or second cycle. But the importance is that the loan quantum is not decided by just the repayment track record of the previous loan. So we look at the overall household income and expenses, and most of these customers are probably around 40% of the economic strata as far as the JLG customers are concerned. The loans are given one-to-one directly to the customer, and the repayment comes through the bank account which they have with us. And around 32% of our customers at this point of time in the Vikas loan, which is the unsecured business loan, the payment comes directly through UPI without us collecting cash at all. Around closer to 30% further comes through the branch and deposits the money. So around 60% of that gets deposited, more than 60% gets collected either through UPI or at the branches. And on the presentation date of the EMI, 70% gets cleared, and the remaining 30% is what we kind of even take the effort in terms of reaching out to them. And closer to around 99% is the collection that happens before the month end. It's at the overall household level analysis, and fairly as of now as we speak, we have around 3 lakh customers. Intent is to really take it to closer to around 4.5 lakh customers at the end of the year. So the origination pool comes in from JLG. After curating, during the period, the assessment is done at the household level, and the quantum of the loan varies anywhere between 75,000 to maximum of around 1.5 lakhs at this point of time. But the average ticket size is around 75,000 to 80,000 as we speak.
Sir, actually, I was asking about unsecured business loan, which is shown under asset quality as some 150 crore book, and the NPA was shown at 6.7% something. So that was the product I was talking about.
That's a partnership product for partners.
Yeah, so that's the book that we are running with our partners, and presently that book is primarily the book we are building with Lending Cart. So they are unsecured business loans of around 150 odd crores, where we follow an FLDG model for the expansion of the business. At this particular point in time, yes, I mean 6% is the kind of delinquency that we see. We are hoping to bring it down over the next 6 months.
So what sort of ticket sizes do we give here, and what's the yield, and what is the FLDG do we get?
Yeah, so, ticket sizes will be around 3 to 5 lakhs. But insofar as our impairment is concerned, it is entirely covered by the DLG that we have, FLDG that we have from the partner. So to that extent, at this particular point in time, we are comfortable.
Okay. And sir, on the last slide, under this FY24 guidance, you mentioned that partnership with digital platforms to mobilize low-cost deposits and assets. So can you elaborate more on this over the next 2 to 3 years, what sort of deposits and assets we want to build to the partnership? Because currently even the assets are quite minimal, I think, hardly 2% of the book. Yeah,
so currently we are at the experimental stage, to be honest, right? So we want to, pursue a couple of use cases with a few of the partners to then determine, the one that works the best for us, given the kind of customer segment that we are targeting. So it's too premature to say how much of, book share we want to target from these initiatives. So at this particular point in time, we are more, focused on driving the use cases and testing them out.
Yeah. And sir, one last question. In the past, we have given sustainable ROAs, I think, around 3% guidance. So by when do you think we'll be able to achieve it? Any tentative guidelines for that?
I think it will take us, around 18 months or so to be able to reach that. So, you know, the first port of call is where we land by the end of the year. So on a full year basis, we said we will do 2 quarters. But Q4 exit will be more like 275. So that's how where we start, you know, the next financial year and then build over time to be able to come to a 4% the number.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. So thanks a lot for answering the very detailed.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mano Vijay from Deep Financial Consultant. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Sir, my first question is regarding the Vikas loans that you have. So I believe that the beginning of year, you were guiding for around 2,000 crores of Vikas loan by the end of this year. And now I think in this PPT, you have raised this guidance, I think around 2,500 crores. So is my understanding correct on that? And that is the reason why this CGFMU provision or the cover expenses guidance has also been raised?
Yeah, so yes, right now we are looking at a portfolio build of around 2,500 crores for Vikas loans. And when we started the year, we were talking of more like a 2,000-2,200 kind of a number. And the increased disbursement will be the reason for the higher CGFMU expenses because as we had indicated in our prior discussions as well, the entire Vikas loan portfolio and the JLG portfolio is covered under the CGFMU scheme.
Okay. Okay. Second question is, so again at the beginning of year, you were guiding for a provision cost, I think quarter one call, you were guiding for a provision cost of around 50 crores for rest 9 months. You have taken 25 crores in this quarter two. That means rest 25 crores will come in H2 or we will again have a higher number?
No, if you look at this time, we have taken 11 crores of floating provision and we had another 4 crores of additional credit cost on account of impairments, right? Which is lower than what we did last quarter because in last quarter we had to take a 41 crore of provision on the security receipts. So at this particular point in time, I think we will be in the similar range over the next 2 quarters. What we are hopeful of doing is to shift the entire provision that we made on account of the security receipts to the floating provision and improve our PCR.
So for next 2 quarters, quarter three and quarter four, should we build it at 25 crores quarterly or we should build it 25 crores for the entire second half?
No, I think if you look, we will be doing around 20 odd crores per quarter, not more than that. That's like the outer limit. And the 40 crores that we had made provision in respect of security receipts will shift over to the floating provision to help us improve our PCR.
Okay. Next question is regarding the employees. So I think this quarter you have ended with, I think, roughly around 7,000 employees, which is almost a growth of 10% quarter on quarter, and you've added, I mean, a decent number of branches as well. Now, I believe this is the build-up that you are, putting in on the ground for next year. Right. Can you help us understand how next year looks like to you?
So, in the current year, like we had guided, we would be looking to have around 70 to 75 additional branches in the inclusive finance segment, and we will be targeting around 30 to 35 branches additionally on the retail banking. And that will basically set us to continue being able to deliver, a 30-35% and about thereabouts kind of growth for next year. So in our call last quarter, we had said that we look to see ourselves grow about 35 to 40% on a year-on basis for the next 3 years. So we stick to that guidance.
Okay. And also with the 30 to 35% growth in advances, how the next year cost income can look like?
So At this particular point in time, our immediate target will be to go below 55%, right? We would like to see that, you know, by the end of next financial year, last quarter, we are able to reach a 50% number.
Okay. And by doing a 30 to 35% growth this year and again repeating the same growth next year, you believe that there is a probability of even a capital raise even by the end of FY25?
I think for a 35% growth book per se, we will not be requiring capital given where we are today. Like we have talked in previous investor calls as well, opportunities can always be explored, you know, per se from a regulatory point of view, a 35% growth in book will not require us to raise capital for next year.
Thank you. My last question is regarding your non-other income, which non-interest income. So can you help us to understand, let's say, provide one, let's say, one benchmark as to whether we, let's say, other income as a percentage of, let's say, the NII or other income as a percentage of, let's say, total assets that you have, what is that we should try and build this number to?
So, you know, there are two parts to that. So one part is the processing fee. If you look at the processing fee, it will be typically somewhere around 2% of our overall volumes, given how the mix of Vikas Loan and JLG is building out, right? The other part is the PSLC income. That is a little bit more difficult to predict, right? So just to give an example, you know, in Q1, we sold 1,200 crores worth of PSLC at 2%. And this quarter, we were able to sell only 900 crores worth of PSLC at 1/4. So PSLC pricing trend is that, you know, it keeps reducing on a quarter-on-quarter basis, right? But what we have noticed in the last 2 years is that the market has become very unpredictable. And the, one of the reasons, for example, is that today, if you look at the market, you know, there's a trade-off between doing PSLC sale versus raising money using IBPC, right? So so that's the kind of a trade-off that, you know, a small finance bank treasury will look at every quarter and then decide what to do.
Okay. This is helpful. Thank you and all the best, and also wishes for the festive season.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prabal from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My first question is on the Vikas students. How many cycles does it take for a DLG customer to become eligible for Vikas students? And typically,
Prabal, can you please switch to the handset?
Better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Sir, so my first question was on Vikas students. So after how many cycles is the DLG customer eligible for these loans? And typically, how many customers are able to graduate from JLG model to the Vikas model?
So typically, you know, minimum 2 cycles will be required for a customer to be eligible for Vikas loan. And one of the major preconditions for somebody to graduate onto an individual loan is to have some kind of a business, right? Based on that criteria, what we typically see is that you know, about 2 in 3 persons will qualify ultimately to be offered a Vikas loan.
But in the fact, it's purely not, as you mentioned earlier, not number of cycles alone. Customers have lots of trade lines, including in retail assets for themselves or for the co-applicant, which in majority of the cases happens to be the spouse of the lady of the household, who happens to be our JLG customer. So we combine all of that. If the customer has got a track record for more than, say, 5 years in a secured loan and has been with us only for 15 months, still she may qualify. And somebody who has been there for 24 months with very good track record in JLG, but has got delays or a defaults in other loans that they have taken from the market, she may still not qualify for a Vikas loan. So it's a curated product. Currently, we run with probably a pre-approved number of customers of around closer to 5 lakhs and converting closer to around 70 to 75,000. On a month-on-month basis, we're targeting, probably we'll end up with around just about 60,000 customers per month on the VI front.
And the person underwriting a JLG loan and Vikas loan is the same person?
Centralized underwriting through data. And the only input that comes from the field is in terms of wherever it is pre-approved, they may still choose not to really fund the customer based on the difficulty in terms of collecting from the customer on an ongoing basis. So they will have a right to drop off some customers, but it's pure scorecard, FOIR, and BRE too.
But these are mostly pre-approved loans. It's not the customer coming to us and asking for a higher ticket.
No.
Yeah, these are all pre-approved loans.
And so in cycle 1 and cycle 2, how does the ticket size change for a JLG customer?
So the cycle is around 35,000 and the second one goes to around 40,000-45,000 with the flexibility and no more than 15 at the end of the second cycle.
Just to add to
what Bhaskar is saying, this is Shashidhar here. So there is no guarantee a customer has completed one cycle, we'll give them a second cycle. So it is again based on their behavior on offers on us and the scorecard based model. So we run scorecards and there is no guarantee that first cycle customer, though they are on zero DPD across loans, they'll get a second cycle loan. It also depends on the FOIR and scorecard.
Okay. Sir, and on the CG SMU, so how much is it actually covering and what is the expense? So for example, it's a 1 lakh loan. So how much is CG SMU covering and what is the expense that we have to provide for?
Currently, we are covering around current coverage around 80% of our portfolio of JLG plus IF is covered under CGFMU. Typically, on a 3-year loan, if you really look at it on an equated basis, the discounted cost upfront works out to around 2.1%. Mostly, our JLG loans as well as the cost loan currently are at around 2 years. So, I guess that it will be around closer to 1.5% of the disbursement.
80% of the loan gets covered.
80% of our portfolio is covered. So, whenever we cover the full loan. But currently on overall portfolio, we started covering from last year as a base year, around 80% of our IF plus loan would be covered, 72% to say it like that.
No, actually my question is, let's say there's a default in a 1 lakh rupee loan. So how much will CG SMU reimburse?
Yeah, so there are two parts to it. So one is that this works on a portfolio basis, right? So if you look at it on a portfolio basis, the maximum impairment in the portfolio that gets covered is up to 15%, right, of the coverage that you take. And of that 15%, 72.75% is what gets claimed and paid by the CGFMU trust, and the rest has to be borne by the bank.
Okay, so at least 10,000 rupees is guaranteed by the CGFMU because of...
No, that's not how it works. So if you look at the portfolio basis, all loans up to 10 lakhs, right, meant for businesses get covered, right? So this works on a portfolio basis. So once a portfolio is determined for a quarter or a base year, then 15% of impairment of that portfolio can get covered technically by the CGFMU scheme.
In a simple term, if you cover a 100 crore portfolio, even an extreme event, if the GNPA were to be around 20%, maximum reimbursement that can come in is 15% of the portfolio. On a 1,000 crore portfolio, it can be 150 crores. And it is at the portfolio level on a base year to base year, year to year basis. So it's around, if you to put it at 72% of the NPA portfolio can be reimbursed by the scheme at the extreme.
Okay. And the expense you mentioned is 2.1%. So for a 100 crore portfolio, you have to provide an expense of 2 crore to be able to insure this amount.
Over the period of the loan.
Over a period of 2 years.
It's a little more intense, probably offline, we can kind of reach out to us, we'll explain in detail. It is based on the quarter of disbursements, what is the premium paid on the base year, next year it is on the principal outstanding and subsequent non-principal outstanding, and then you can cover, there are quite a bit, it's a little more intense scheme rather than a straight cover and take.
Perfect. So my last question will be, in our top 3 to 4 states, in the MFI segment, are you seeing some rise in leverage at the sector level for these 3-4 states where we are predominantly present?
Shashi, can you tell based on the data that we are seeing?
So we are seeing stress in a few states, especially in the northeast and east.
We are
seeing stress in Ahmednagar. Few pockets. It's not state level. It's more at district level and pockets level.
And this is because of rise in leverage, or this is because of the rural distress that is prevailing in the system?
Some markets are historically, like this market is more migrant labor population. So such markets, we stay low. We don't scale up aggressively.
We aren't really overall seeing a trend of any heating up of a big leverage. So on a normal basis of the data that we see, but the buildup has been only been steady. And there are some states where we don't operate, so we can't really comment on them, where the growth has been pretty high.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Kumar from SBI Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for taking my question. So my first question is regarding unsecured business loan, which we have partnership with lending cards. So just wanted to understand like what is underwriting we do here, how we assess the income, what is the yield in this segment? Yeah.
No, so these customers are onboarded by us. They are contractually our borrowers, and we underwrite them end to end, right? So lending card is working more as a BC partner in terms of originating the possible transaction and handing it over to us, right? So to that extent, it's entirely underwritten by us and as per our credit grids.
Yeah, but because of a 3 to 5 year, it's in some level of informal segment also comes in where income could be in cash level. Documentation may not be very high, so field level income assessment is required. So just trying to understand a fintech partner and then from centralized processing, so how does it work?
So actually, we are not doing any fintech partnership with lending card. It's a physical file which comes over, assessment is done. They do their grid in terms of passing through their curve, and final underwriting and approval is done by us along with the bank statement and the other things which are available. For instance, the ticket size goes beyond a level. I believe they should have a GS registration and we also verify whether they have filed the returns in time. We are not a full visibility in terms of the amount paid for the GST, but whether they have been filing returns, bank statement, that's how we do, and ticket sizes are usually much lesser than 10 lakhs. Because there is a small piece of the portfolio which is about 10 lakhs for which it will be far more intense in terms of underwriting. We are in the process of tying up with two fintechs, two of the entities for the fintech lending, and there the DLG as to the new guidelines will be 5%, and majority of that will be the scorecard, and there will be low, small ticket transactions, sub 5 lakhs. Predominantly dependent on the track record of the customer as well as on the bank statement as we really take it for a cut off that.
Okay. And second question is margin. So H1 we are at 9.7%, Q2 exit of 9.4%, and guidance, earlier guidance was 10% net interest margin. So do you want to revisit that guidance?
No, you know, given that, you know, our deposit rates have peaked, like we said earlier in the call, on a full year basis, we are looking at a 9.5 to 10% margin. And that will be range bound. So that's what we are targeting. Because what will essentially happen is from now on, there will be a slight change in the mix as well, right? Because we would want our VL book to grow up to 2500 crores. So that will ensure that we are able to stick to this guidance of 9.5 to 10%.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Kiran Pulavarti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is one quick question, sir. It's almost like 4 to 5 quarters since you had upgraded your tech systems. I just would like to understand from your perspective, what are the benefits, how you see things panning out on structural basis and cyclical basis, maybe both on the credit underwriting or maybe on the op leverage, and how do you underwrite the book? Thank you.
On the tech side, having moved to Pinnacle, we have a much better hold in terms of, you know, what the product rollout cycle times have come up very sharply. So probably we are able to now do roll out any tie-ups or products in 1 to 3 months depending on the product tie-up. So that's a positive of it. In terms of analytics, it's a separate platform irrespective of whether we're using Profile earlier as Pinnacle. That continues to be as robust. So what having control on the platform ourselves in-house would really help us in terms of what we see as data to rolling out as a product becomes far more smoother side.
Got it, sir. Great. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Tulsiram from Continental Value Edge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. My question is on liabilities. Two, three questions on liabilities. First, do we have any plans to increase the liability branches in the next 1 year? That is the one. Second is, if we have no plans, then do you think with the existing branches we'll be able to increase the liabilities to match our asset growth? And the third is, on the last slide of your guidance, you give the guidance of reaching CASA of 22% for FY24, that is in next 6 months. Our CASA has been declining, I think, though a couple of percentages, but for the last two, three quarters it's declined. So what is that we are going to do differently that in the next 6 months we will reach 22%?
Yeah. So, Anil, I will have our retail banking head Himanshu answer the question. So Himanshu, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Kishi. Hi, Anil. So I take one by one. So one, on the question of expansion, as Bhaskar and the CFO said already, that our focus is very, very clearly to build a strong retail and granular franchise by the way of expansion or adding new branches in a new geography or adding the existing branches in the existing geography. So that goes on. And as already highlighted by KC, we are looking to add about 30-35 fresh branch banking branches before this financial year end, and maybe converting few existing asset center into the composite branches, along with also doing and looking at various use cases of the digital and fintech partnerships. So all these three put together, I'm sure will give us a desired result. That's one. On the part of saying that, how are we going to look at the 21% of the CASA ratio? If you look at trend in the industry today, because of the higher rate interest scenarios in the market today, if you look at across the industry, across all the banks, there has been a little bit deterioration of the CASA ratio. However, we are comparatively better off compared to other competition in the industry. And if you look at our book, it's primarily the retail book. 78% of our book is actually retail and 22% is only the big deposits. So our focus on building a truly granular retail book remains by virtue of adding the relationship channel in the branch banking setup and adding new product offerings. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah.
And also, we would like to say,
given the guidance of CASA for 22%, can you elaborate on that?
See, Anil, what we did also was that there was a big focus in terms of looking at term deposits for building up the book. So, and hence, as a percentage, it has kind of come off, though we have touched 7,000 crores. Now, the intent is to really take it from 1,000 crores to close it to around 1,500 crores towards the end of this financial year in the next 5 months' time. So, just that kind of shift in focus, and hence the term deposit growth may not be as high as it was on the base in the beginning of the financial year. So, combination of that, 1,500 crores on the 7,000 crores of term deposits would be closer to 20%.
Also, if you look at Anil, incremental CASA growth for the year or for the quarter is about, in an overall basis, about 20-odd%. If you look at quarter one, CASA book was about 832, and right now it's in excess of 1,000 crore. So slowly and steadily we are making progress, and I'm sure we'll be able to deliver what we promise.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for attending in the session, and wish you all and your families happy Dhanteras and Diwali. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.